And this is Love Month, and I felt led beginning last Sunday to start a new series called Relationships in Progress. And so last Sunday, the focus of the foundation of my sermon last week was the topic of love. Building relationships requires love, right? Good, solid, healthy relationships, what they require. So this month we'll be talking about building relationships. Building relationships, number one, comes with our relationship with God. And then secondly, our relationship with one another. When we go through life, challenges can be faced in relationships all the time. But relationships are important. Relationships are ordained by God. Jesus exemplified relationships to us. He came so that we would have life. He came so that he could show his love to us. That's the relationship that we have. So I want to read a scripture this morning as we delve into the second part of this series, Relationships in Progress. Our key verse is found in Colossians 3:23. We'll read there. We'll pray. And I want to get into what the Lord, I believe, would have me share with you today. Colossians 3:23 says, "And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men." Amen. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Father, that your word is being proclaimed today, Father, through song, through word, through sharing, through testimony, through what you're doing in our lives. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, I pray that as you show us the perfect example of relationships, Lord, that today you will enlighten us. Clarify, Lord, things in our minds today. Draw us closer to you and give us revelation that will change our lives today. In Jesus' name, amen. How can we have healthy and solid relationships? Such a challenge. When you bring two people together, we've got one opinion on this side, we've got another opinion on this side. And many times we get into a conflict, and rather than working out that conflict, we go separate ways. What happens is that person then decides in another relationship to do the same thing. And so this person goes and decides to do the same thing in another relationship. And so there's never really any resolve. There's never really any agreement and working beyond the situation that it takes to have good and healthy, wholesome relationships, solid relationships. So today I want to talk about a topic called commitment. Commitment. If we look at the definition of commitment, it's defined as this: the state or quality of being dedicated. Commitment is the state or quality of being dedicated. Here are some synonyms to commitment: dedication, devotion, allegiance, loyalty, faithfulness, fidelity, bond, adherence, attentiveness. All these are synonyms or bywords of commitment. Commitment is important. You can't have any relationship without commitment. We look at the commitment of Jesus has toward us, and that is what a relationship is supposed to be on earth. So how can we discover that? How can we find that? Well, if we were to look at the world's way, the world has a way of building relationships too. If we look at the world's way of commitment and building relationships, the first thing they do, especially this time of the year, they find the right person. They look for the right person. They go out and they want to find the right person that they're looking for, that meets certain criteria, certain requirements, certain needs in their life. So they physically look for the right person, trying to find that right person. Do an all-out search, whether it be internet, word of mouth, radio, TV, they try to find the right person. There are TV shows today that actually are helping people find the right person. So that's the world's way of doing it. Find the right person. The second thing they do is they fall in love. They fall in love based on their feelings or emotions. They don't fall in love based on what may be good for them long term. They fall in love with the other person, good relationship with what they can receive from the other person, right? This is the world's definition. Then the third thing they do is attach all their hopes and dreams in this one person. I'm going to place my entire life in your hands so that you can make me happy. That's So we see the world doing this. And then the fourth thing they do, if these three things fail, they repeat 1, 2, and 3, start all over again. They think maybe the next time around they'll have a little better solution to their need and to their wants. That's the world's way. Well, there's also a biblical way. There's God's way of commitment. There's God's definition of commitment. The first thing that God would ask us to do is that we become the right person. How can I be the person that God wants me to be? So if I allow God to work inside of me, maybe there's some changes that I need to bring into my life that I can be more like Christ, so that as I look for the right person, as God brings that right person, I am being the person that God's called me to be. I told you a few weeks ago, I wish I could find scriptures in here that we could cause other people to change. But every scripture I read causes me to change. God wants me to be the man of God I need to be, and you the woman of God, you the man of God that you need to be. So the first thing we need to do is become the right person in God's eyes and according to the word of God. And that's a lifelong process, by the way. I don't believe we'll ever get to that place where we say, well, I've got it all together. I'm good. I'm perfect now. Anybody that has any questions, come to me and ask. I don't believe we'll ever get to that point. Amen? Not on this side of eternity. And the second thing that God's way of commitment is that we walk in love. We make a choice to walk in love. We make a choice to love everyone as Jesus Christ loved. So we walk in love. Not looking for what you can do for me emotionally or to feel that sense of need in my life, but to put on love, an act of my will to love even the unlovable. We talked about that in depth last Sunday. The third thing that Christ would give us in the matter of commitment is to fix our hopes, all of our hopes and all our dreams in Him. I've only found one person that will never ever let me down, and that's God. It's Jesus Christ. He will never let us down. So we fix our hopes and our dreams on what He can do. Let Him empower us. Let Him fulfill those desires of our heart. And if that fails, how many know that that just because you come into a relationship, and I was talking to someone the other day about two people coming together, if they really truly follow Christ, then everything's going to fall in order. But sometimes there's one, if not two, that's not quite there, not really seeking God because there's other agendas. So if that fails, then let's start 1, 2, and 3 all over again. Become the right person. Walk in love and fix our hopes and our dreams in Christ. See, sometimes God will test our commitment based on what we receive in life. Everything in life requires a commitment. Your very job, most of us, unless you were born with a silver spoon in your mouth, most of us have to work to earn a living. And unless you're committed to your boss man, unless you're committed to doing that job, you'll be looking for another one pretty soon. So even in our secular world today, there is a level of commitment. But many times that level of commitment doesn't quite go up to the place that it should be when we honor Jesus Christ and honor our commitment to God. But any relationship, whether you're dating, whether you're married, whether you stay married, mother to children, children to mother and father, there is a level of commitment that will always be required in a relationship. Always. Commitment is important. I would say commitment is as important in building relationships as love is. Even love requires commitment. I love you. I'm not going to show it to you, and I'm not going to say hello, and I'm not going to wish you a happy birthday. You see? So our actions, our love is a level of commitment. There has to be commitment in love. And if you're truly committed, there will be a level of love as well. And so no matter how good we are at searching for the best relationship in life, we'll always find something wrong with the other party. Ask Crystal. There's always something. Would you pick this up when you get through with it? Would you put that lid down when you're done with it? There's always things that we'd like to tweak and to change, right? There is an ingredient that holds any relationship together. There is an ingredient that holds any relationship together, and that ingredient is commitment. Chris and I were talking the other day. We had a little downtime the other afternoon, and I sprung on her. I said, honey, I'm going to be talking about something this Sunday that I would like for you to share for just a moment about. And we began to talk about February 23rd will be 34 years of marriage. Amen. And And I'll tell you one thing. She is just the sweetest thing in my life, and I thank God for her. But I asked her, I said, honey, would you mind sharing just a moment? As a matter of fact, she began to talk. And as she began to talk, not knowing what I was going to talk about this Sunday, I said, would you share that Sunday? So I'm going to ask her to share for just a moment right in the middle of my sermon.
Okay. It's amazing the things that God can use to speak to you. The other day I was doing something very spiritual. I was getting my nails done. And the one girl that was working on my nails, she said, oh, what time is it? And she looked at the clock and she said, wow, today has flown by. Well, her boss that was sitting at the next table said, no, it has not. We've still got 5 more appointments after this. And she said, well, yeah, I know. I was just saying that the day has gone by really quickly. And she said, no, it has not. It's just dragged by. Today's been a very slow day. And it was like, so the girl doing my nails just looked at me and, you know, kind of lifted her eyebrows. And I said, it's a matter of perspective, isn't it? And she said, exactly. So I was telling Mike when I got home, it's like I've had a lot of, the last couple of weeks, a lot of opportunities where people have done things or something's happened. And I thought, perspective, you know, because two people see the same situation totally different. So we were talking, and I said, you know, everything in life is about our perspective. You know, when the doctors told Mike at 18 that he had 3 to 5 years to live at the most, perspective, his could have been, oh my word, I'm gonna die, and he probably would have. But instead, he said, no, I do not receive this. And he's 52, and he's still here. You know, in our early years of marriage, when we hit a bump in the road, if our perspective had been, well, we're sure not going to survive this, I'm done, I'm out, we would have divorced, as most marriages would have. But our perspective was, our marriage is worth fighting for. Our children are worth fighting for. Our family is worth fighting for. And I told Mike, I said, you know, I said, that goes with our church, you know. Is our church worth fighting for? What's our perspective where our church is concerned? And, you know, our finances, you know, in our early years of marriage, we barely had enough money to pay bills. If we had extra money to buy a pack of Oreos, we had done something, you know. But in our early years, when the money was that tight, what if we had said, we'll never do better, we're going to be, you know, poor all of our life, we'll never be able to afford anything. Well, we probably would still be thinking, God, can we afford Oreos this week? You know, God blesses us, and he wants to bless all of his children. But I think a lot of his blessings are put on us based on our perspective. Are we ready to receive? Are we ready to fight for our church? Are we ready to fight for our family? Are we ready to fight for our marriage, our children? You know, we've got to do our part for God to do his part. Is that what you wanted me to share?
I know in business relationships, in a contract, there's a place usually in a contract where there's an out. If you don't meet my expectations, I'm looking for a way out. If things don't go according to the way that I expect them to, if anything out of the ordinary happens, then I've got an out. Many times in our relationships, just as Crystal said, many times in our relationships, we've got in the back of our mind, I've got an out. Just in case things don't work out, just in case things aren't meeting my expectations, I had this out to where I can get out and save myself, save my own dreams, save my own desires. And many times we look for that. It's how we perceive, as Crystal said, those things that we face in life. But God has a view on out. God has a view on how we look at out. And it's found in Hebrews 13:5, the latter part of that scripture there, it says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. See, If the Lord were to look at us and say, okay, if you don't meet my expectations, if you don't really live up to my standards, then I'm done with you. But he did not look at us that way. He came to save us while we were yet sinners. So before we ever tried to start being better, before we ever gave an effort to move toward God, he still gave his life for us. So the way that God looks at out is never. He will never leave us. He'll never look for that out. He'll never look for an opportunity to save his own desire, save his own reputation by blessing people that aren't doing what he wants them to do. Well, I believe that's the very definition of commitment. If we're looking for an out, and we can all find one, whether it be our relationships with each other, our relationships with acquaintances, business relationships, or our relationship with God, if we're looking for an out, you will find one. But by always having that in the back of our mind, looking for that out, expecting that out to be there, it's kind of our card that we'll play if we need to, ace in the hole, then all we're doing is setting ourselves up for destruction. There'll be a place of destruction somewhere along the way, because you'll find it, but then your life can be in shambles. Now, let me clarify this, and we'll get into this a little deeper in just a moment. Let me clarify this. If you're here today and you're divorced, listen, I don't know any details in that, and many times there's abuse involved, and I'm not here to condone abuse. Matter of fact, I'll go as far as to say this. Situations are encountered differently, and we need to be assisted to that, but I don't believe God wants you to live in an abusive situation at all. So let's go and clear that up. That's not where I'm headed today. That's not what I want to talk about. Although these words will come up, so you know you'll kind of hear my heart. But our out plan robs us from our best plan. Because we're always looking for that out. Where our antennas are always up. So if we're always looking for a little slip up here, slip up there, we're going to find that, and that will cause us not to face the best plan. Now, there's a scripture found in Malachi, and I want us to look at that today, Malachi chapter 2. And it actually talks about, and here it's going to refer to the topic of divorce, as I said a while ago. But let's look at this as a matter of commitment. I believe that what God is saying more here, as Malachi puts the word, or it was actually interpreted as the word divorce. I don't know that was that way in the original language. It really boils down to commitment. So we're going to look at this today as the focus, as the topic, as the focal point here of commitment. It says in beginning in chapter 13 of Malachi 2, and this is the second thing you do. You cover the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping, with crying. You come to the altar saying, well, life is just not good for me. I'm facing everything that I never wanted to face. So you cry and you cry and you express your hurts, your disappointments. But he goes on to say, God does not regard the offering anymore, nor receive it with goodwill from your hands. In other words, we're using the altar as it's all about me, rather than the perspective of God, what are you doing in my life? So some will say, well, God, I'm doing all the things that I know to do right. I'm giving, I'm going to church, I'm trying to be friendly, but yet all these other things are coming against me. God, help me. It goes on to 14, saying, yet you say, for what reason? Why is this happening to me? Has anybody ever said that? Why is this awful thing happening to me? We've all said that. Because the Lord has been witness. The Lord has been watching your life. He's been seeing every detail of your life. But he's looking for your deepest commitments between you and the wife of your youth. Remember, we're talking about commitment. With whom you have dealt treacherously. In other words, you've been unfaithful to the wife of your youth. You have left your commitment aside. Yet she is your companion, the Bible says in 14b, and your wife by covenant. You've made this commitment, you've made this covenant, but yet you have dealt treacherously, the Bible says. In verse 15, but did he not make them one, having a remnant of the Spirit? And why one? He seeks godly offspring. God wants the very fruit of your life blessed. Your children, yes. But even the history of your life, he wants that blessed. What we're doing in life as we build relationships, as we go through life, we're actually planting seeds, and there will be some sort of fruit to prosper out of that. There'll be some sort of fruit to spring forth out of that. And so he goes on to say, he seeks godly offspring. Therefore, take heed to your spirit. He's speaking about us. What's on the inside of us? Take heed to your spirit, your level of commitment. And let none deal treacherously with the wife of his youth. For the Lord God of Israel says he hates divorce. God hates failed commitment. Okay? Now, I didn't go back and pick that original word out of the original manuscripts and interpret that word. But I do know that the Lord is referring to a level of commitment. So when we make a commitment, whether it's in marriage, whether it's in our job, whether it's to another person, whether it's to God, God hates failed commitment. Now, we all sin. So if you're here today, I can say that you're in good company because we have all sinned. We've all failed on commitments. Amen? Today's a new day. So therefore, take heed to your spirit that you do not deal treacherously. Commitment is required in every relationship. So what I want to do today in building relationships, in building our communication with God, number one, and then each other, secondly, and even the world, I believe that there should be a form of relationship with the world. I'm not saying that we go hang out and do life together with the world. But we are called to be an example. We are supposed to go into the highways and byways and reach those who are lost, right? That requires some level of commitment. Amen? And so unless we have those, unless we have the Gideons that are committed to doing what they're doing, the lost can't be found. So the will of God is for us to reach the lost. The will of God is for us to build relationships. You know what? What's awesome is that when people get into trouble, when they're going through a hard time, who's the first person they call? The one who knows God. The one who can pray. The one who can get an answer from God Almighty. That's the person, and I'm sitting in front of many of you today for that very reason, that God has called you to a level of commitment so when those people in the world, that they may not be in church today, they may not be in church again until Mother's Day or Christmas, but when they get in trouble, who will they call? We've got to have a level of commitment. Every healthy and solid relationship will require a level of commitment. What we can't do is go into a level of commitment and say, well, I've had a change of heart. I don't love you anymore. See, commitment, true commitment, does not change its mind. True commitment is not based on my feelings. True commitment is a choice that when I commit to something, I'm committed. Now, something may happen. My dog may die tomorrow and I can't make that meeting. That meeting. So I may have a flat tire. You men know, a few weeks ago when Tim and I were headed to men's breakfast on a Saturday morning, we were there and coming down Sea Island Causeway and had a flat tire in my car. We didn't make breakfast. I was committed to being there, but I had a flat tire. So there will be things. And so hear what I'm saying. I'm not saying that there aren't good excuses. There are good excuses. But sometimes you can't follow through with commitment. But my heart, what was the intent of my heart? The intent of my heart was to be where I said I'd be, wasn't it? So we can't look for an excuse in life. Well, I had a change of heart. I've had a change of heart. I don't feel that way anymore. Well, see, that's where we get into danger, is because we're walking away from God and we're basing our decisions and our level of commitment on what we feel and what we sense and what we're receiving back rather than what God would have us to do. Commitment. Commitment. It's in order to stay connected. Commitment is necessary in staying connected to God and not to run away. See, Crystal needs to know that I'm committed to her. God needs to know that you're committed to him. There's one thing that God doesn't have enough of, and that is committed people. God doesn't have enough of us saying, God, whatever you call me to do, that's what I'm going to do. That's why it says in the Bible, the harvest is ripe. The harvest is plentiful, but where are the workers? Where are the ones to actually bring them? Where are the ones to go? I mean, we've got the fruit, we've got the corn. The farmer says, I've got all this, I've got all the crop, but I don't have anybody to help me get the stuff in. It's going to die and be wasted before we can get it all in and save it. So the harvest is there, but God needs to know that we're committed to him. Now, wouldn't it be sad if Crystal, we were talking, in 34 years, there has probably been one or two things I've said that she didn't like. I'm glad she don't keep a notebook of that. Glad she keeps no record. And so during that time, if I said something wrong to her, she said, Bip, that's it. I'm flying to Aruba, and you're not going with me. She was committed, right? We said early on, well, this is not an option. We throw that option out, it's done. And so, see, out of all of our commitments, that's the way we need to be. I'm committed to this, unless something happens that's beyond my control, I'm committed to this thing. I'm committed. Another definition of commitment that I ran across was it means staying loyal to what you said you were going to do long after the mood you set it in left you. Sometimes we make commitments just because it's going to benefit us. We're in the right mood. You know, I said, yeah. Now I can say what I know needs to be said so that I can get what I want. I know you don't know what I'm talking about, but I mean, good buddies, football teams, social groups, private clubs, all of these type secular markets have people that are committed to them. I mean, you're not going to dare say that I can't make that meeting Tuesday night. Oh, if you miss the meeting Tuesday night, you're out of our club. That's the way a lot of the secular markets go. And so there's a level of commitment. Well, that particular situation is based on fear, because you certainly don't want to be thrown out of that club. It's too important to you. But many times the most important things in life we're less committed to than the less important things. Amen? You kind of see the picture where I'm going here. This is another revelation God gave me. He said that the level of our commitment will always affect the level of our results. The level of our commitment will always affect the level of our results. Sometimes we're not getting what we bargained for. I'm not saying always, but let's look and see how our level of commitment has been leading up to that result. But there will always be an impact. Our result will always be impacted some way from our level of commitment. And last week I talked about love, as I said. And we can't truly love, fully love, without God loving us. Without us receiving God's love, we can't truly give love. I can't give you something I haven't received. So I can only give you what I've received. So if I truly receive the love of God, God, I know you love me. And I know that even though I've been rotten sometimes, you still love me. With that attitude and receiving all the grace and mercy of God and walking in that love, and because he loved me so much, I want to live for him. That type of situation gives the ability for me to be able to love you at the highest level. So it is with commitment. If my commitment toward God is the same way, it comes top priority. My commitment to God comes before my marriage. That's how big that is. And so if my commitment to God is that high priority, above my job, above my marriage, above my family, y'all know how I feel about y'all and my family. But my commitment to God is higher than that, then my level of commitment to you will be at the same quality. How can you do that? How can you make that kind of commitment? Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things. How? Through Christ, who strengthens me. There's nothing that we cannot do without the strength that Christ gives us. He can cause us to love unconditionally, and he can cause us to be committed unconditionally. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Jesus wants us to do the impossible. Jesus wants to receive every blessing he has ever run across his desk. He says, I want that blessing for that child. I want that blessing for Peter. I want that blessing for Carolyn. I want that blessing for Gary. I want that blessing for Robert. God wants all those blessings to go to you, Lester. God has all those blessings for you. But many times he's going to test our level of commitment to see if he can trust us with that. Sometimes we get so blessed that, God who? God? Who's God? You know, sometimes we receive such great blessings from God. As Elder Roth was saying a while ago, the love of money is the root of all evil. You give some people $5 million and you can say bye. You'll never see them in the U.S. borders again. The flip side of that, you can give some people $5 million and they will bless and further the kingdom of God and do all they can do to support the work of Jesus Christ. That's just an example. So here are five commitments I'm going to give you. Try to give these to you as quick as I can. Five commitments that Jesus has made to us. The first commitment that he has given us that we can also give out is Jesus prioritizes you. He places you at the top of his priority list. So much so that he laid his life down for us. for us. What are we supposed to do? Well, 1 John 3:16 says, by this we know love. By the actions of Jesus we know love, because he laid down his life for us, period. And we, that means you and me, we also ought to lay down our lives for them, for the brethren, the Bible says. So how can we give that level of commitment? We can recognize that Jesus has committed to us. We see true love, and we can also lay down our life. What does lay down your life mean? That means to put your agenda on the back burner. That doesn't mean it's not important. That just means that I want to listen to your heart first. I want to stop and I want to listen to what your heart is. What can I do to help you? Now, if we can incorporate what I really want in the situation, that's fine. We'll try to incorporate that. But mainly, my first thing is to do what Jesus did, and that is to lay down our life for the brethren, for those who love Jesus as well. So we can do that. The second thing Jesus does is he pursues. Jesus is like the good shepherd. He goes after that one that's lost. He pursues you. We should pursue one another. We should pursue relationships. Those of you who are here that have a spouse or a loved one that you love, when's the last time you pursued them the way Jesus pursues you? When's the last time? Now back 35 and 36 years ago, I pursued that girl. I pursued. And although all I could afford was maybe a Coke and a French fry at McDonald's on Friday night, that didn't stop me from pursuing her. I mean, it was not about money, believe me. If she married me for money, she was gravely disappointed. But I pursued. When's the last time we pursued a relationship with God? When's the last time we pursued a relationship with each other? It requires time. It requires laying down our own agenda. But Jesus pursues us. Small things. You know, if I still don't send her a text from time to time, or a phone call, or a flower, or a card, then there's room for improvement. I need to continue pursuing. Just because I've got her doesn't mean I can keep her. I believe I will, but if confidence is good, right? Moving on. Jesus pursues. Revelation 3:20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Jesus goes to your heart's door and he knocks. He's pursuing you. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. So there's an action that we have to put forth. Even as Jesus is pursuing us, he's pursuing us, we must open the door. There's some of you today that you just haven't gone to the door and opened it. Now, I've been too disappointed. I've been, God, I'm in this situation here and I really don't trust you to do the best thing for my life, because why else am I in this thing? I don't want you coming to my door. And so what we do, that level of commitment that we're to make to Jesus, that he's made to us, we have cheated ourselves out of continued blessing of God. All because things haven't gone our way. I could, if I chose to, I could recall a boatload of things that didn't go my way in the last 34 years. But you know what? If my commitment level was based on what I expected to get or didn't get, I'd be up the creek. But somehow, some way, I miraculously stayed committed, the mistakes and all, and didn't end up in jail, that God said, you know what, you're committed to me, I'm committed to you, and I'm going to cause all these things to work together for good to those who are called and who love the Lord. There again, love is what? Commitment. Who are committed to me. The third thing Jesus does is he possesses us. Now that sounds a little strange, he possesses us. What he does, he engulfs us, he protects us, he covers us, he possesses us. Well, I think that it's okay that we have relationships so much that I want to cover you, I want to protect you. I was talking to someone the other day, and I said, I just want to make sure that you're okay. I want to make sure that you're not discouraged in any way. I feel like my heart as a pastor is to make sure you're okay. If you're not, what can I do? I mean, sincerely. But 1 Peter 2:9 says this, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Now watch these next four words. His own special people. Jesus possesses you. He has guard over you. He has protection over you as long as you stay in his in his, under his wing, is, as the word calls it, as David calls it, under the wing, the shadow of the Almighty. You are his own people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And so it's okay to have relationships where you feel a little level of protection. I love you so much. I want to help you. I want to help guard this thing that's coming against you. I want to love you and bring you to the place to where I'm committed to you. I want to help you in any way I can. That's okay. We all need people that we can count on. Like I said, if God needs people he can count on, surely I need somebody I can count on. You know, we're in this together. So if we prioritize and if we pursue the way God wants us to, then we will possess a healthy relationship. Healthy, whole, and solid relationship. The fourth thing Jesus does leads right into it here. He protects us. He's a good father, and he will always protect you. Being under his wing, being with him. Psalm 121:7 says, "The Lord shall preserve you." In other words, he will protect you. The Lord will protect you from all evil. Thank you, Lord. He shall preserve your soul. He will guard your life. He will guard you. He'll protect you. We stay close to him. That doesn't mean it's not going to come our way. That doesn't mean that everything from today forward, y'all, is going to be perfect. You'll never have another problem. That's not real. Until we get to heaven, that's not life. I mean, Jesus said, in this life you'll have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have come and I have overcome the world. So we've got him on our side. We've got him to protect us. We've got him to guard us. We've got him to coach us, to love us. We will face adversity. We will face adversity. A lot of adversity in life, it could have gone two ways in my life. I could have either been discouraged and walked away from God, or I could have said, God, I need to draw closer to you than I've ever drawn to you before. And that's where the life was at. That's where the life was. That's the only place in life. This way takes me further away from God and takes me right into the hands of the devil. He's saying, yeah, I got him now. That's not where we want to go. There's no life there. Amen? So he's going to protect us. He is committed to protecting you, Jesus Christ. We also can build our relationship with one another, protecting each other. I've had somebody tell me years and years ago, did you hear what they did? And they happened to be talking to somebody that I was close to. I knew this person. Do you know what they did? What? They did this, they did that. Well, my answer was, well, thank you for telling me. I'll have to get with them about that. See, that's how we can protect each other. Don't run. Don't get on the phone and say, hold that thought. Do you know what I just heard? You will not believe this. You sit in your seat. It's juicy now. Hold on. See, we protect each other by, well, thank you for telling me. I'm going to get with that person. Usually that'll nip it in the bud. Oh, no. You're not going to tell them what I said, are you? No, I won't call your name, but I'm just going to check with them on the facts. Romans 5:8 says, now the same, y'all don't have this, just make a note of Romans 5:8. It says, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died. The fifth thing, the last thing that Jesus does for us, he cleanses us. Cleanses us from all those mistakes, all those blunders that we've made. And you know what? I could fill up a dumpster full of the ones I've made. But he cleanses us, the Bible says. Jesus always has your back. He's always got you covered. As long as you stay close to him, he is there to forgive you, to love you, and to cleanse you. Ephesians 5:25 and 26 says this. Husbands, love your wives. Again, he's talking about commitment. Just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Who is the church? Us, right? It's not the floor and the walls here. That he might sanctify and cleanse with the washing of water by the word. It all boils down to this. Let's make room in our heart for a new relationship with Jesus Christ. He's got to be our priority. He's got to be number one. He's got to be the first. Sometimes the relationships in our life fall apart. Why? Because we don't have the right relationship with him. It's got to first start with him. I can't love you until I first love him and receive his love. I can't be committed to you until I'm committed to him and know that he's committed to me. It all starts with him. We get it out of whack when we put him way down here and we're going to do it the world's way. and it just goes up in smoke. It's ashes. But I believe today there's not a single one of us in here that can't say, I need to renew my relationship with Jesus Christ. I'll be the first one. Today. You know what? Tomorrow morning when I get up, I need to renew my relationship with Jesus Christ. Tuesday morning when I get up, I'm going to renew my relationship with Jesus Christ. Because if we don't, we'll face the day on our own and something will come up and we've put something else in priority over God. Every single day. If Paul and Paul knew Jesus, if Paul said, you know what, I fight this battle. I do the things I shouldn't do and I don't do the things I should do. If Paul knew Jesus and he did that, I need Jesus. We need Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Let's stand together this morning. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Let's bow our heads together. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your commitment toward us. I thank you, Lord, for the commitment that you said to us in your gospel. You will never leave us nor forsake us. I thank you, Lord, for that promise today. And Lord, I pray that you'll cause us, encourage us today, that we'll have a desire to have a deeper, renewed, fresh relationship with you. Father, our relationship with you should not be based on things going wrong. Our commitment toward you, Lord, should not be based on those things that disappoint us. Lord, they will come. But Lord, through those things, you will draw closer to you. You'll draw closer to us. You will show us that you can cause those things to work together for good. You will cause us, Father, as we're committed to you, to be blessed beyond anything we could ever imagine or think. Thank you, Lord, for your commitment to us. Thank you, Lord, for your commitment to us. If you're standing here with me today and saying, Pastor Mike, I need to make a fresh commitment to the Lord this morning, come and stand with me right here. Just come stand across here, right here at the front. I need to renew my commitment to Jesus today. I need to say, Jesus, thank you for your commitment to me, but Lord, I want to recommit myself to you. I want to recommit my focus in life to you. I don't want to be looking at things through the flesh. I don't want to be looking at things in life just because of what they can do for me or what they can't do for me, but Lord, I want to look to you first. If that's you, come stand with me this morning. I believe God wants to bring some blessings in your life that as we refocus ourselves on Jesus Christ, get him the first priority in my life, that he will cause all these things that we're so concerned with, that we need desperately in our life, to fall into place. Just lift your hands to the Lord this morning. Lord Jesus, you see the hearts of these standing here this morning. Lord, you see the sincerity, you see the honesty. We're saying, Jesus, I want to renew my relationship with you, Father, right now. In Jesus' name. Lord, we know that the level of our results many times is based on our level of our commitment. So, Lord, I pray that today that we have a renewed commitment to you. Doesn't mean that we're not Christian. Doesn't mean that we're not serving you. Doesn't mean that we don't love you. But, Lord, we need to make you top priority. We need to put your relationship in our life first. So all the other relationships, Lord, will fall into place. They'll be easy compared to us making this decision today to make you first, Lord. We would not be focused on what we can get out of you or what you can do for us or how great you're going to cause things to be, Lord. No, we want to love you. We want to be committed to you because you first loved us. So, Lord, we lift our hands to you today. And I pray, Lord, that today you will cause us to look to you in every situation. Look to you in every circumstance. Look to you in every relationship. Look to you in every need. Lord, there are needs here today. There are plainly needs here today. And Lord, you know each one. You know the backstory, the current story, and the future story. You know it. You know the details.